Becoming a member at Navy Federal Credit Union could help you to earn more and save more. Their certificate options could earn you more than standard savings accounts with competitive rates.
Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as Navy Federal does. For example, you can start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit, add money at any time, and watch your savings grow. Thanks to flexible terms, you can use Navy Federal savings options for all kinds of goals, short or long term. Navy Federal also offers equity loan options to help you get the funds you need to consolidate high interest debt, work on home improvements, or cover any of life's big expenses.
To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, their members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender, membership required. Terms and conditions apply, loan subject to approval. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing getting paid to pay rent, prime perks, and a low score costs you more.
That's right, Joel. This is our Friday flight where we have a sampling of different stories, specifically the stories that we think are the most important that you need to be paying attention to. We'll get to those here in a minute. But first, so I guess it was last week I mentioned how I felt like my grocery bill, how it's slowly crept up. And specifically, I think it was because of Costco.
Oh, I thought it was just because of all the escargot you've been eating.
We eat fancy now.
And all the truffles. Well, you've been shredding over everything you eat.
Do that. I mean, you don't like the truffle flavor as much. I recently had some truffle fries as leftovers here in the office.
Of course you did, fancy pants.
Oh my gosh. There's, dude, some old fries. You crisp them up in the cast iron. You fry up a couple eggs so the yolk's all running all over. That's a good lunch right there.
Spicy meatball.
I'm not sure where that came from. What's the spicy meatball?
I don't know. Just talking about food.
You just felt like saying it.
That was the best reference I could come up with at the time.
So the reason I'm saying that I think it's Costco. However, that's also tough to determine because we also switched over to Costco over the course of this year as we've seen inflation take a hit on, in particular, the cost of groceries. So which
are you saying maybe you are being unfair?
Possibly, which,
to
by the way,
retailing giant friend.
We just saw the inflation numbers come in earlier this week and inflation, it's cooling off a little bit. So that's good news. Yeah. We'll certainly talk more about that in the coming weeks. But the problem is, it's tough to know whether or not our higher grocery budget was due to changing where it is we were shopping or the higher prices. And so I was talking with Kate about it, and we came to the conclusion that well, there's a way for us to test this out, and it's to stop going to Costco. And so we're actually, this was last week we had this conversation, I guess shortly after you and I, after we had our conversation here on the show.
Sounds like a brutal technique to try to implement.
It's just going to be tough to know whether or not the higher prices are due to the new store.
So you're going to take a month off and give it a test.
Take a month. That's exactly what we're going to do. So basically we decided that we are not going to go to Costco at all this month. So we are taking November completely off, and we're going to go back to our old ways. I'm just glad that Kate is willing to participate in this experiment with me. But yeah, I'm going to figure out and find out whether or not we can get our grocery budget back down. And I will be sure to let you know. I'll let listeners know.
Yeah.
No, what we experience.
I'm curious to hear. And I think one of the things we've talked about, granted, not everyone likes Costco. Totally fine. No worries. You don't have to. But I do like Costco for a lot of reasons.
Oh, yeah. I do too.
And I will say, I agree with you. I think I probably am in many ways spending more. But sometimes it's because the quality of certain things is superior. And I don't mind paying a little extra because I know that what I'm getting is it's not as expensive as the equivalent, but I'm able to get something nicer than I would be able to get at other grocery stores for not too much more. And so I'm okay with paying that extra. But interestingly enough, on this note, while we're talking about Costco, CNET, they actually kind of beg to differ with your analysis and with mine too. They just released an article saying that Costco is going to save the average individual or family quite a bit of money. And this was, they did like this comparison based on 25 staple products and the prices. They put them side by side against this grocery chain called Stop and Shop, which I've never heard of, never even been there myself. They put these prices up against each other, a normal everyday grocery store, which I'm guessing from the way CNET described it, it's probably not too far off from something like Kroger or Albertsons. But whether or not you're going to save, so much of it depends on the individual items that you're getting. So for instance, rice, it's a whole lot cheaper to buy that in bulk. You buy the Kirkland Signature 25-pound bag of rice for $11 versus paying $3 for 3 pounds of rice at the grocery store. If you get the Costco-sized quantity, you're going to save money. But it's the warehouse clubs are just not for everybody. And part of the value proposition for me with Costco, like I said, is those higher quality items in a lot of ways. But it was interesting to see this CNET article and see different things put side by side. I've noticed too that as inflation's roaring, it hasn't picked up as much at Costco in some respects. Like eggs now seem like they're a better value at Costco than they are at just my everyday grocery store. But yeah. We'll link to that article so people can kind of see those numbers for themselves.
And I will be sure to report back as well, because like I totally agree. I understand that there are certain items. Like I think the prices at Costco, honestly, I bet they're fairly comparable to Aldi. It's just that you're buying everything in bulk. So you are spending more.
Yeah.
And I think that when you buy in bulk, it can oftentimes lead to waste. But then there's also just a variety in goods. Like we're buying stuff that we never would have purchased before at Aldi because they, guess what? Aldi didn't carry those things. Like Aldi sticks to the staples, the basics. And when I'm walking around Costco and I see the Japanese barbecue sauce, it's difficult for me to not reach up and grab that.
Yeah. Let me try.
You're talking about truffle. I was telling you about this this truffle hot sauce that Costco, they had out in the samples. And I can't believe I didn't buy some because I love it that much.
You're right. There's more temptation, for sure.
Yeah, there's more temptation. And so in that way, I almost see Aldi as a way to kind of, it's a mechanism to keep you disciplined, right? Like it's a mechanism that when your self-discipline fails, it's like, well, guess what? That fancy barbecue sauce or the truffle hot sauce, it's not within arm's reach. It would take me driving to another store. But this doesn't mean that I regret having a Costco membership. Like there are still certainly items that they carry and services as well. I'm still looking forward to when I have to purchase some new tires because of their lifetime maintenance that they provide with their tires. Yeah. Filling those tires up with nitrogen instead of regular air. I've yet to experience that personally, but I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, if you are a Costco fan and you're wondering how to maybe get the most bang for your buck out of your membership, we just published an article up on the site, 11 Costco hacks that are going to save you money. We'll link to that in the show notes.
Yes.
But let's move on. Let's talk about rents for a second, because they're starting to creep down, as the New York Times put it, which is honestly the perfect description, right? We're not seeing, we did, like you said, get those inflation numbers, and inflation is starting to correct, albeit in not so significant ways yet. But rents can be kind of sticky. Those are going to be one of those things that aren't going to slide down as quickly as maybe some of the other prices we might see in our everyday lives, largely because people sign year-long leases, right? And so rents aren't coming up for negotiation every single month or anything like that. But we are starting to see this market calm down a bit, which I think it's a good thing, right? Rents mm-hmm. are still, they're still quite a bit higher than they were a year ago, but new data from Zumper shows that small reductions in rent are occurring in cities around the country. And so what does this mean for How to Money listeners? Well, if you're a renter, it likely means that you won't be forced to endure as substantial of a rent increase as you might have expected. You might have been really fearful for the next time you hear from your landlord as your lease is about to renew, and just at the thought of what they might try to charge you. It also points to a softer market in general that allows for more negotiation on your part. And if you want to know how to negotiate rent effectively, how to save more, how to push back against rent increases, check out episode 469 that we recorded with Justin Pogue. And I feel like that's just like, there's a bunch of different strategies you can implement into your life. Like as the market is softening, use that to your advantage and save yourself more money.
Totally. Yeah. So actually, speaking of rent, paying your rent, that can be kind of a pain as well. There are some things in the financial world where it feels like we're kind of stuck in the 90s, and paying rent is, it's one of those. Well, JP Morgan Chase, they are launching this new rent acceptance platform, and they're doing this in an attempt to make this process a little bit easier. It's an attempt as well to compete with different companies out there like Avail, who are already catering to mom and pop landlords out there. But one of the things that caught our eye was a stat that showed that 78% of rent payments are still being done using paper checks and
That's
money
crazy.
Orders.
That's crazy.
Which is insane. Obviously, electric forms of payment are way, way easier. And we also talked about Bilt back when we talked with the points guy here on the show, that interview. But that is a killer option for tenants as well, for those out there who are paying rent. It's a credit card, and you can use it to pay your rent. And yes, even if your landlord doesn't accept credit cards. And so this isn't something that you have to clear with them necessarily, right? By using this card, you'll get 1% cash back, and you will completely avoid any transaction fees. And the way it works is that even if your landlord doesn't accept credit cards, Bilt will literally send them a check, a paper check to them on your behalf. It's super cool. Joel, you literally just wrote an article about this talking about the benefits, the things to watch out for, but also, I mean, this is how you can quite literally get paid to pay your rent. Yeah. This is a way that you can earn some cash back on what's likely for a lot of folks the most expensive payment that they're making every single month.
Right. Yeah, no, it's the only credit card of its type that rewards you, that pays you to pay rent. And like you said, most people, if you want to pay with your credit card, you're going to get charged fees. You're not going to earn rewards. It's the opposite. Mm-hmm. You're losing by paying rent with a credit card. But this credit card flips the script. And so it is cool. And by the way, there's no annual fee with it. There's some additional perks that are actually really cool that I fleshed out in the article. So yeah, we'll link to that in the show notes if you're interested. But on the note of rent, Matt, let's talk about short-term rentals for a second. Airbnb just announced this week that they're going to be addressing issues that customers have been complaining about for quite a bit of time that haven't been terribly friendly to end users. Starting next month, folks who use Airbnb are going to be able to filter search results on the platform based on an all-in figure. Mm. And that's going to be, like I would say, probably a really pleasant change It's pretty dang hard right now to compare prices in this apples-to-apples manner the way search results are currently displayed. You click through and then you get shocked.
You basically have to like book it. Right before the book button so that you see that total price. You have to have multiple tabs open to kind of formulate, all right, which one's worth it?
It's a massive pain. $495 for cleaning? I didn't realize that's how much they charge. And so it can change the dynamics mm-hmm. of where you want to stay. They're also giving fresh advice to hosts about checkout guidelines that can be overbearing. I'm not sure if you've ever felt this way, Matt, but it's like, yeah, we just need to like sweep and then mop and then take out the trash and all the above.
Don't forget to clean the grout.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a special grout brush for you to use as well.
Can you change the HVAC filter while you're down there? And I don't mind taking out the trash when I leave. I don't think that's a big deal. And I think, at least especially the way Airbnb started, there was this kind of like, we're all in it together and I'm going to get to stay at a cute place that I otherwise wouldn't have access to. But Airbnb has become like a big boy platform now. And so they need to treat their guests a little bit better. They've realized that. And so, yeah, I personally don't think I've had any extreme chores asked of me as an Airbnb, as somebody staying in an Airbnb. But it seems like it is a practice that is making people upset. So yeah. Airbnb is trying to rectify that as well. It's good to see them making some like positive changes that honestly have been kind of a long time coming.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the problem is that it's when folks who are renting their place, if they're double dipping, right? Like if you are asking your tenants or, you know, your renters or whatever to do all of these things, and then you're also charging a massive cleaning fee,
right?
That's when it sucks, right? Because I wouldn't mind doing, I'll start a load of laundry if you want me to. Yeah. I'm fine with that if it's reflected in the cleaning fee, right? If the cleaning fee is something like $20
instead of $100, yeah.
Yeah, or if it's even non-existent or just like $1, so it's line item there and you see it and it's like, oh, okay, well, that's why I've got to, you know, do some of these other tasks. I'd be fine with that, or vice versa. If you want to charge me $100, $150, you know, for a cleaning fee, I better not be doing anything.
Yeah.
Right? So it's one or the other. But I mean, ultimately, like at the end of the day, it's a free market, right? And so people who book it, they're going to see that, oh, this, I don't feel like the value's there. And you can leave your comments, you can rate and review that mm-hmm. place, and other folks will see that, and that place will no longer be in high demand.
Right.
So a lot of that can be naturally sort of filtered out.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that it's going to be easier for folks to
make those decisions
and to see the bottom line price before you click through and
transparency.
Through a bunch of hoops. Yeah.
That's
going to help me as I search on that platform. And so, yeah, I think it's going to help a lot of people because it just sucks to be like, yeah, this is the place. And then you don't know the final price until you're further along in the process. And then you got to jump back to square one.
Well, another thing too, if you find that you don't like the prices that you're being shown when it comes to a cleaning fee, don't forget about hotels, right? Like, you always have that option as well. And I feel like
there've been,
like,
a lot of jokes lately online where people are like, you know, you could just stay in this other place that takes...
where you can leave your wet towels on the floor.
Right.
You can leave all of your trash.
Yeah.
As opposed to,
and
like...
they don't charge you extra cleaning fee.
It's packing it out like you're camping in the pristine wilderness where you have to, like, pack it in, pack it out kind of thing. Yeah. We just fall into these habits. And some of these habits, I think, can be hard to break when you have an entire generation for the past 10, 15 years where you're just completely used to looking to Airbnb and you're not
Been around for 20, but
not 20, but 15. Maybe
it started with the Democratic National Convention when Barack Obama spoke. I think that was kind of that was like when Airbnb started. I think it was.
Yes, about 15 years ago. But I just wanted to mention hotels because I feel like the pendulum might swing back and you might have a bunch of folks realizing, oh man, it's got a free continental breakfast as well. Like, hook me up. And so if you are going to consider something like that, Priceline or Kayak, don't forget to, there are these discount sites that your parents used to use. It's a great place in order to find a great deal without all the headache that oftentimes can come with an Airbnb.
Yeah, and sometimes an Airbnb makes more sense. Sometimes a hotel makes more sense. And sometimes the final price should help you dictate which route you go.
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, let's talk about another tech platform, Matt, another giant one, making a little bit of a tweak to their offering. And I don't know, is it better for consumers now? Well, you be the judge, because Amazon Prime just massively increased the number of songs that Prime members can listen to ad-free from 2 million to 100 million, which sounds awesome on its face, right? You're like,
like a massive improvement.
Another,
all right.
A free perk that just got a whole lot better.
More songs than I could ever listen to in my entire life.
Right. I mean, many of which are probably complete pieces of crap, but you know, there's some good stuff on there as well. But it comes with a caveat because you've got to listen on shuffle. And so listener Steven, he reached out this week and he gave this move a big thumbs down. He'd prefer to pick the exact song or album he wants to listen to at any given point in time. And I get that, because that's kind of how I am too. I like to listen to whole albums. I like to I like to, like, pick the song. I don't want to some sort of shuffle
music as they were intended to be delivered to listeners
on an album.
Album format. Yeah, I get that as well. It's the whole reason why I stopped listening to music via Pandora 10 years ago. Like, I didn't want to listen to the radio over the internet, basically, where I had no control over the actual songs.
Yeah, so you and we pay for Amazon Music. Uh-huh. We split the Music Unlimited because it's
unlimited,
worth it to us.
Unlimited family plan.
Right.
Six lines of listening.
That's right.
it's right. It sounds like a cell phone plan.
And I think
even
that, the price on that just bumped up by $10. It's like $160 a year. But we split it, and so $80 each, not too bad for what we're getting. But yeah, Prime offers a lot of perks these days. But I feel like this is a great reminder, even when they're touting something that they're saying is better. Well, if it's not better for you, and if you're not getting enough value from your Prime membership, consider getting rid of it. And our friends over at Clark.com, they've got this little quiz that you can take to help you determine whether or not it's worth your money. We'll link to that in the show notes if you kind of want to see, well, am I getting enough value from this or not? And you want some sort of non-biased quiz to help you figure out whether or not the membership fee, which is substantial, is worth it. Take that. It'll take you just a couple minutes. And that'll help you figure out whether or not Prime membership continues to make sense for you.
That's right, man. Yeah, another way that you can listen to music is by going to see it live, but it might cost you an arm and a leg. We've got that story plus several others to get to right after the break. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. And if you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table.
You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade, lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach every single summer. We've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host. Or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry. Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Spring cleaning is kind of an annual rite of passage. We've all got to do it, minimize the junk that we have in our house. Emily and I, we just cleaned our closets out. It took hours, but it was so worth it. Now we've only got stuff in there that we love, and it's easier to find everything too. And so, you know, while cleaning your closets is helpful, well, there's something else you can do for your family this spring. Shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius, for example, is a really important part of your financial planning for the year.
That's right. Yeah, and here is the thing that's important to remember, because you might be thinking you don't need to check out Policy Genius because you've got a policy through work. But even if you have a life insurance policy through your job, it may not offer you enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies, and that means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance.
Save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to PolicyGenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com. All right, man, let's keep going with the Friday Flight. And yes, let's keep talking about music here in the ludicrous headline of the week.
Of the week.
This one comes from Vice, and it reads, Blink 182 tickets are so expensive because Ticketmaster is a disastrous monopoly.
And a truer headline was never written.
Right. And you and I, we don't care too much about Blink 182. I don't know. I mean,
you never listened to them?
They were fine, but I don't listen to them now.
Dude Ranch. That was the name of that.
That was a big one.
Growing Up, or it had a different name too. But that song was on Can't Hardly Wait. You remember that? Did you ever?
I don't know.
Oh man,
I don't remember that one.
Classic coming of age, teen. romantic comedy rom-com. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Blink-182 was super hot. I never, you know, I remember liking a couple songs, but I can't remember the last time I listened to any of their stuff until now. Thank you for that.
It was that song.
But the latter part of that headline, that's what concerned me the most. I don't really necessarily care about what Blink-182 concert goers in particular are paying for tickets, but concert tickets overall are ridiculously
expensive. The disastrous monopoly part of the headline? Yes. Gotcha.
That's okay. The problem. And so the fees alone that Ticketmaster charges can equate to 78% of the ticket price.
That's so stupid.
So if you want to buy a $100 concert ticket, it could be $178, thanks to the kindness of Ticketmaster. And the truth is the free market incentivizes competition. And if there are too few competitors, we tend to see stagnation when it comes to the effectiveness and the service and prices.
Yeah.
They tend to skew upwards. And sadly, since we're talking about a monopoly situation here, there's just not a whole lot you can do except for send mean tweets Ticketmaster's way.
That's true. Well, there are a couple of options, right? Like one is to buy your tickets at the venue itself.
That's true.
You talked about doing this recently to, you know, before
at the Fox
you and Emily went and saw a play.
For sure.
And by doing that, you're often able to avoid a big chunk of the Ticketmaster fee by taking that route. But two, you could go straight to the source. You can tell your favorite artists not to do business with Ticketmaster. You know, kind of taking that approach, like a little subtle social pressure. I think that could help to create some change.
Yeah, comment on Taylor Swift's Instagram post and be like, hey, love your new album.
Slide into those DMs.
Could you avoid Ticketmaster in the future?
Something else to consider too, and this is probably going to be a less popular option, is just going to fewer shows. Kind of feels like a crappy suggestion, but I mean, the more we just opt for different forms of entertainment, the more Ticketmaster in particular will feel the pinch. I think voting with your feet, right? Voting with your dollars when a monopoly is wreaking havoc on an industry is just one of the only choices that a consumer oftentimes has.
Yeah, that's crappy. I wish there was better advice that we could give, but Ticketmaster fees are like an anvil around all of our necks. Anybody who likes going to see live shows, because of the stranglehold they have on the industry, it's a real problem, and it's costing us all dearly, costing us lots of money. But yeah, I guess that's the best advice we have. That's all we can offer.
Yeah.
At least it's something. Let's talk about credit scores, Matt, for a second, because we've talked about the many ways that your credit score impacts you over the years. It's a massively important number worth paying attention to. Episode 287 is a great place to start if you don't know much about credit scores and how they impact your life, how they impact your finances. But a recent study that got released this week by Insurify finds that your credit score has a massive impact on what you pay for car insurance. That's something we've talked about over the years, at least in the states, by the way, that don't prohibit insurers from using that as a data point in their scoring models. There are a few states where they say, nope, not allowed. And so even if you have terrible credit, it's not impacting right what you pay for car insurance. But this study found that drivers with excellent credit can expect to pay as much as $2,000 less each year for insurance than their counterparts with a rough score. And I'm going to be Captain Obvious here, Matt, and say, that's a lot of money.
That's a ton of money.
And so the advice we would say here is to pay attention to your credit score, people, because it can have wide-ranging impacts. It can cost you money if you neglect your credit score, if you're not building it up, if you're not making sure that it's in healthy territory, and something as seemingly insignificant as your credit score. It's not insignificant, and it can massively mess you up when it comes to what you're paying to your car insurer.
Right. And obviously, even though the credit scoring models and the different bureaus out there, like, they've got their problems, right? The credit bureaus, they're not terribly trustworthy. That doesn't mean that you should opt out of the system, right? Where you're neglecting your score altogether, because it does have these wide-ranging impacts. And instead, we want you to monitor. We want you to seek to improve that score over time. I mean, currently, not that many folks are buying homes right now. But your credit score, it doesn't only impact you if you're looking to get a mortgage. And this new study from Insurify, it should have us all making sure that we're at least above that 720 mark. Yeah. You don't necessarily need to have a perfect credit score. Joel, that was another episode that we dedicated solely to the credit score. We'll make sure to link to that one in the show notes as well.
Some people obsess about it.
Where it's this perfect, I mean, we see it as a tool, right? And so imagine a hammer, and you got somebody who's sitting there and they're buffing and polishing, and they've got the perfect hammer, But we think hammers are made to be used, yeah. which means there's going to be some little dings on there. It's going to be kind of rough around the edges. But guess what? You're using it for what it's supposed to be used for. You don't necessarily... It's not an end in and of itself. Yeah. It's a means to an end.
And that's where you said 720. I agree. Somewhere in that 720 to 740 plus range.
It's a good threshold.
That's gonna do you just fine. You're not going to get penalized for having a score above that point. So, yeah, I would shoot for that. I would say, like, listen, where am I at with my credit score? Take a look on a site like creditkarma.com so you can kind of see where you stand and know where you can improve. That's what I like about Credit Karma is they've got the scorecard that can help you see, like, okay, I'm not doing so great in this one.
They got the tips, the advice.
Exactly, which can help you know what changes to make so that you can improve that score, leading you to be able to increase that credit score, which will hopefully save you money over the years, especially on something like car insurance, which is, you know, when we've talked about, Matt, like, my own personal car insurance rate went up quite a bit this year. And the same is true for a lot of people out there. Car insurance rates are going up. Don't shoot yourself in the foot by having a crappy credit score to go along with it. Let's talk about salary transparency laws for a second, because they're becoming more in vogue. There's conflicting information about whether or not they actually help workers all that much in their ability to negotiate. And New York City just implemented one of these laws, and employers are starting to comply. Sort of. City, for instance.
Like, technically, they are complying.
Right, right.
But the reality is, yeah, there's a lot to be desired.
Well, let's give some examples, because Citibank listed a job as a position being paid anywhere from $0 to $2 million. So they, based on this law, people are supposed to give these employers are supposed to give a good faith range of a salary that a potential applicant can expect. Citi has since corrected, saying that this was listed in error. But now that salary range is from $61,000 to $155,000, which is still just quite a big window. The Wall Street Journal listed a position, I think, for an audio engineer or something like that, or somebody to oversee some of their podcast production. And the salary range possibility was $140,000 to $450,000.
Massive stinking range.
Yeah, you can't make that up. Like, that's a massive range.
And you can't make decisions based on a range like that, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's really hard to know. It doesn't necessarily, these salary transparency laws, they might not be having the effect that they intended to have. And so if you are in the job market, you're going to see more salary ranges listed when you're looking at potential jobs, no matter where you live, just because this New York City law and some other states have implemented similar laws, you're just going to start seeing it more often. But just know, they might not be terribly helpful. And it's still crucial to negotiate so you end up with a salary hopefully closer to the top of that range than the bottom.
Sure, yeah. And this is also just a reminder that the secondary perks or benefits of, you know, from where you work, that can also make up for perhaps a smaller salary. And I'm talking about the things that you don't see listed out there in the headline pay number, like a robust and inexpensive healthcare plan, or different health benefits like a gym membership. And of course, the sweet 401k match, honestly, one of the primary things you should be looking at.
Yeah, and it might be worth getting paid a little bit less if somebody's offering a 6% match versus a 0% match.
Absolutely, yeah. But the thing is, you might not even end up making less money. And we say this because Fidelity, they're now offering their workers access to a free college education to thousands of entry-level employees. Citibank, PNC, they already have similar programs like this in place. This is great to see, right? Because businesses that invest within their people, within their employees, breeds loyalty. I think I saw that Chipotle, they found that for folks who took advantage of this offering, that employees were 3.5 times more likely to stick around there at the company, and 7 times more likely to climb the ranks.
I love that to
be promoted into higher management positions. I guess.
I feel like that happens at Starbucks too. It's like you start off as a barista, and you get those perks. You get some of the retirement benefits, and you get some of the college and health insurance benefits. And you're like, man, this company's treating me nice. Here, what I'm making, $15 an hour.
Why would I leave?
Maybe I'll go store and district manager route, and that works for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a smart move for companies to be treating their folks this way. And so just keep that in mind, right? If you're looking for another job, just be sure to research and ask about these secondary benefits and perks that might be beneficial to you in addition to securing the right salary.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right, Matt, last story for today. Let's talk about an article that Vox published about the history of bottled water. And it's worth a read because there is a lot of clever marketing in the bottled water space. I feel like they're trying to make us think that we're drinking some sort of superior H2O from an impeccable mountain spring or something like that. Like these,
like Bobby Boucher, glacier water.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. What was his name? Is it Boucher?
Bobby Boucher.
That's right. Okay.
Bobby
the water
Boucher.
Boy.
Yeah. Water boy.
Yeah.
But wasn't it glacier water that like brings him back to life? Spoiler alert.
If you haven't seen it yet, you might not want to now. But it is, of course, a very good movie. But the vast majority of bottled water, Matt, it doesn't come from these like mountain springs somewhere in Scandinavia that are untouched and
right.
like the purest water on the face of the earth. So much of it comes from municipal sources, right? And that means the same place as your tap water. And as the article states, and I quote, "We've fallen into the trap of paying to consume a natural resource that's generally widely available for cheap or free." End quote. Mm-hmm. So drinking bottled water regularly has been a thing for some folks, at least for a lot of times. And largely it's because they bought into a false narrative. But it's just a financially silly move to spend money on bottled water either, because tap water is perfectly safe. It tastes just fine in most cases, except for in some parts of Florida. I don't know why. Yeah. And it's not going to break the bank, right? Because bottled water, it's just avoidable most of the time. And so, yeah, it's an environmental concern in some instances. And from where we're sitting, it's a financial concern for some folks. Like,
yeah.
don't bother with bottled water.
Sure. Well, and I think maybe some folks would balk at the fact, at you saying that, like, it tastes just fine. Because I would say here in Atlanta, I don't know if it's because we're in a bigger city like this. It seems like maybe they have to treat the water more in order to make sure that it's safe. But there's some days when, like, the chlorine coming off the water coming out of the tap, it's quite strong, right? Mm. Like, obviously at home, our water goes through it's filtered through the fridge. But here in the office, we just get our water straight out of the sink. You can smell it. But what did we do? You just buy a cheap, basic little Brita filter and filter that water through there. And oftentimes I think folks they're buying water because they're just doing it out of convenience, right? Like, they're not thinking ahead. They're hopping in the car and they're running some errands, or they're taking a trip and they're like, oh man, I'm really thirsty, and they buy water because it's like the healthy option, right, instead of like grabbing a Coke or mm-hmm. something like that. But all it takes, like I say this almost as a reminder, because we are so used to having water, like literally I've got a water bottle here at my hand, and fill up your own stupid water bottle and take it with you. It just takes a little bit of foresight.
Yeah, and taking it on the plane, the empty water bottle, getting it through TSA and then yes. filling it up after you get through.
Absolutely. And again, it's something that we are so used to doing. And this is something that doesn't require you to make another purchase as well. I guarantee you've got a water bottle at home. It's in that box in the attic. Like, go up there. Like, you don't just have one. You probably have like six or seven of them up there.
I've seen a lot of stuff floating around about Liquid Death, which is a bottle, like a canned water.
It's like an entirely new brand.
It's new and improved.
Where they're trying to appeal to the monster drinkers out there.
You can tell, like, there's the bottle of water that comes in a cardboard box. I mean, there's all sorts of marketing behind it. But in every single form, it costs you money unnecessarily. And it's not that every once in a while it's not okay to buy a bottle of water, but it should be rare.
Like, literally, I'm looking at the water bottles you and I have on our table right here. My red Tequila, I don't even know how you say it, because I didn't buy it. I got it for free. It was left over at a party that we were helping to clean up at a financial conference.
I got it free
like 4 years ago.
Free Nalgene.
And yours is free as well. Like, both of these, I guess I say that because I think we are not alone in the water bottles that folks have at home. Just actually put them to use.
And if you
get in the car, before you hop on the bike.
And if you don't have any in the attic, Matt will lend you one because he's got extras.
That's right.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode. For folks who want links to what we mentioned today, including that article about the Bilt credit card that can help you get paid to rent, you can find that and more in our show notes on howtomoney.com.
That's right. But that's going to be it for today, Joel. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.